The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. How y'all doing? At John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Dell V2. If you want to get on the show, 713-780-3776. And boy, is it wet out there. Holy crap. You live about, what do you live, a half a mile from here?
No, 3 miles.
You live 3 miles? Is that how far it is?
Yeah, it's close.
You live 3 miles from here, and you had to go a different way because...
There's an area in my neighborhood that if it rains hard enough, long enough, it's going to flood all the way across the street and elevate. And,
you're about 3 miles.
Yeah, I got to that area, and I'm like, I can't take this chance because it was up over the curb. So I turned around and had to go a different way, and there's a little more water to get through there. But, and then Richmond was a little, yeah, it was, I didn't realize how hard it had rained.
We needed it because it's only rained every day.
Well, the good thing is,
holy crap.
If you're worried about your grass, if you haven't been getting enough rain on it, haven't been watering your foundation, it's supposed to rain at least until 2 o'clock. So we got another strong 7 hours of rain coming.
Thank God.
So that's a good thing. Put your plants out. We're in luck today. We finally get some rain.
Do we get our hats in? I see.
Hebert Linares. You know, Hebert does a lot of awesome memes and Photoshop and stuff like that.
He's
funny
great.
Stuff.
Yeah,
Edo T-shirt company.
Edo
T-shirt company.
E-A-D-O.
Yeah.
Edo.
Not
East
E-A-D.
Downtown.
Yeah. East Downtown, not E-A-D.
Not E-A-D.
Yeah.
O.
Yeah.
Edo.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's Edo. Edo T-shirt company. And people on Twitch can see it, but...
I don't see mine.
He made these cool hats.
Hat, apparently.
Well, hat for now, yeah.
Yours
is in there. You're not going to like them.
What do you mean I'm not going to like
them? They're flat
brimmed. I like flat brimmed hats.
I've never seen you. Hey, you don't wear hats that much ever since you got your hair done. Got your hair done. You're not a hat guy, I noticed, now that I think about it.
No, but I have to wear them when I'm playing golf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to stay out of the sun.
You want a flat brim when you're playing golf?
Yeah, I want a flat brim hat.
Okay. I got one in there for you.
How selfish is that, Del? Del, that doesn't look like a flat brim hat. It's got a little curve to it, Del. I don't know what's going on with you today. You feel like maybe you're going to join a country club or something?
It's Friday. It's Del's feeling.
It's a Del
Friday.
It's a Friday.
It's Friday raining. He's got his inside
out. That doesn't look like a flat brim hat.
I don't always wear flat brim hats.
You kind of do.
I just told you I don't.
You kind of do.
Playing
despite
golf and
your
frisbee
tone.
Golf,
no, gonna, that's what you do, nerd.
He's going to spend some time, you know, indoors for a change today.
Yeah. Despite your... No, I'm going to go see
watching
Black.
TV.
Oh, because you go outside all the time, I imagine.
Hey, when it's not raining, live outside.
Sure, you take your dinner towel into your bedroom and eat and watch your shows.
That's accurate.
You're
so
outside
far,
all the time.
So
I'm sure.
Far, there's no lies told in that.
Yeah. No, I don't always wear a flat brim hat. It's Black Widow Day, excuse me. That's what I'm going to watch.
Oh, that came out.
Oh, yeah. Black Widow Day?
Yeah.
That looks really, really terrible.
Tell it to the reviews. Over 80% are Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, my gosh. Another cartoon. Where everybody's jumping on cars and
it's
like surfing on cars, driving 90 miles an hour down
Mission Impossible isn't like that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. It's
James
stupid.
Bond isn't like
yeah,
that
that's
either.
Stupid too.
Yeah, I know. Everything, yeah. Only what you like is
yeah.
good.
Lord of the Rings.
I forgot.
Real. I like
Bond
real.
Is stupid, but Lord of the Rings is. Now yeah. that's the real deal.
Now that, no, I like.
Or we're in the Shire.
True stories. That's what I like.
Yeah.
Like Lord of the Rings.
The Shire.
So I didn't like yesterday's game. I'll tell you the truth.
No,
I mean you want to talk about what is? Why can't? What's with Frankie Montas dominating you? Frankie Montas.
You couldn't. The only run you got on him was when he made a mistake up in the zone a little bit. He was keeping everything at the knees, like he was putting it right where he wanted to. And the Astros, you know, I thought a perfect example is in the seventh inning. Yordan, first pitch, you know, first pitch ground out. It hits the ball hard, ground out. And then, but Kyle Tucker had kind of a bloop double and then a wild pitch and he goes to third And then he made a mistake on a 2-2 count. Montas made a mistake a little bit up in the zone, and McCormick ropes it down the line for a double. Run scored 2-1. And I legitimately thought, okay, here come the boys. This is where – wouldn't be surprised if this ends 4-2. That was my thought.
Every game they fall behind in the first inning, which
now,
they did.
That's their new thing.
That's their new thing. Now we got to bounce back. Now let's kick their ass.
Their new thing is they can't win the first 5 innings.
That never came.
Well, and then, well, the ninth inning, Yordan started off with a base knock, and you thought, here we go, and then Yuli grounded a double play, and it was over.
That's all. So, hey, you know what? You're still 4.5 up. Boy, it would have been nice to be 6.5 up, wouldn't it? But, you know, you're not. You're 4.5 up. You got the Yankees coming to town. You got all kinds of giveaways this weekend. So get on out there. See the. It's not like you need any incentive to go see the New York Yankees in town, right? But you know, it's raining. It's inside. So this is a perfect night to go to the ballpark. They've got, okay, so what are the, I saw it last night on the broadcast, and I forget it. The 2019 trophy is going to, American League trophy is one of them. A Jose Altuve bobblehead?
Jersey.
Jose Altuve jersey, because.
Those are the only two they have on the website.
No, there was one. I think every day there's one.
I think they may be doing something, but I don't think there's a giveaway. The only two giveaways were those two that I saw.
Oh, I thought the ring, too. I saw three.
Oh, no, I saw a ring. The trophy's the other one that's not a giveaway, right? Or they?
I think every day there's a giveaway. Trophy.
I'll check, but
trophy,
I looked.
Trophy, ring, and Altuve. So, that you know, that's cool. Take a look and see. But you know what? You end that series on a little bit of a bummer, but oh well. Frankie Montas, you tip your cap, like Biz always said. You got to tip your cap, and you move on. And now you got the Yankees in town. You got three games. Listen, Altuve decided. I don't think he decided after, but Carlos Correa had decided a few days ago that he just wasn't going to the All-Star game. He just was. He wants to rest. He's thinking about the second half of the season. As I understand it, he said it was okay. In 2017, he went, and it was okay. And then Jose Altuve as well. How much of it I think might have been, I wonder how much of it is, you know what, those guys, I really don't want it to be awkward, uncomfortable in that locker room. I don't want, you know, there are so many guys that have made so many comments.
Not.
Well, there have been.
Do you think that, I hadn't even thought about that, but that might have.
There's so many guys that made so many comments.
Yeah, but you don't want to pull a fire.
No, you're not pulling
hide.
A fire. You just, hey, why, you know, why even bother with that? Aaron Judge was all, so many people are going to be asked, what about Jose Altuve right there? And he's cheating. And what about Carlos Correa? And how is it to share a locker room with those guys after all the stuff that you said about him, Aaron Judge, and all of this crap that would have been,
good.
That would have come of it?
Yeah, Aaron Judge. That's what I would have, Jose. Yeah. How is it? Since the Yankees don't cheat, how is it to be with such a cheater?
Well, I don't know that that's a part of it. I just thought, you know, the awkwardness, the uncomfortableness, it doesn't have to be.
And that's what they should have been there for, is to make it uncomfortable. Because we've been talking about the whole time. Everyone in baseball, Evan Gattis talked about it. This is like the biggest joke in baseball. That's why all these guys talking is so stupid, because everyone knows that other teams are doing this. Especially the Yankees of all teams. I thought it didn't even cross my mind. I thought Daniela might have said, Carlos, I want you to stay home. And Carlos was like, yeah, I'm cool with it. Altuve, oh, my leg. But he's been playing with the leg.
Oh, he doesn't have a leg injury.
Oh, my leg. Well, my leg.
You know, he did have the knee. He had a ball.
I know,
knee
he's like, I thought it was going to get really, really bad. There's a chance it could get really bad. I'm like, what are you?
No.
You're going to play like three innings.
I want to stay home.
About?
You know, here's the deal with Carlos, though. The fewer games he plays, the better. Any game he plays, he's putting at risk because he's injury prone. So to give his body a nice four days off, as opposed to going and playing in the All-Star game and doing all the things that you have to do and getting ready for the game and everything else, he's at home. He can relax. Carlos Correa is playing for $30 million a year right now. So he's like, I don't need an All-Star game. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do all that. I made the All-Star team. Great. I got do I have any bonuses in my contract for that? Great. I made the game. I made it. So I'm on the team. Congratulations to me. And now I'm going to go rest. Spend time with my wife, who's pregnant for the first time, and enjoy 4 days off.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't. This is not something we normally see, by the way. Two players. This makes so much more sense now that you reminded me that maybe they more worried about being in the same.
Not worried about it. Just who needs it? Especially with the not worried.
Who needs it?
Who needs it?
Who bails out on All-Star games? You almost never see it.
Jacob DeGrom.
That's it. It's all happened this year.
No. There have been guys in the past that have.
Name your healthy scratch.
There have been a lot of healthy scratches in the past.
Okay, just name one.
No, guys have opted out.
I googled. I saw Kirk Gibson. There's not a lot of them. You can Google it. I mean, you're not going to find a list of it. It doesn't happen a whole lot. It never happens in basketball because everyone's going to party and you're going to do things with your special parts.
Mm-hmm.
So no one is going to miss out on that.
Yeah.
And like I said, you could get an injury there, but it's going to be from after parties. It's not going to be from, you know, basketball. Baseball, not many people bail on that. Football, no one cares. Like,
well, now,
I'm not going to get hurt.
Well, one of the differences, and who was it that brought it up on Twitter yesterday? D brought it up. Well, you don't bail on the All-Star game because it actually meant something. Especially, you know, if you're a team that is vying for the World Series and you're going to host the World Series, the game actually meant who had home field advantage in the World Series. So there was a reason, especially for guys on good teams, to actually go. Now there's no reason. There's really no reason to go. And this might be more of a trend. We see it so much. Guys opting out of entire high school seasons. Guys opting out of bowl games. Guys opting out of just playing because they're resting. Playing in regular season games. Load management. We're seeing more and more and more and more of this. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this isn't now a trend with guys. They're just like, why go? For who? For what? I'm going to go home and I'm going to rest for 4 days. So it doesn't mean anything anymore. It's no World Series on the line. The World Series home field advantage on the line, and you get to go home and rest. And you get to go. I mean, Jacob DeGrom just opted out because what the hell? Why do I have to?
This is a new thing. I don't think it's good for baseball. I talked about it. When we come back, I want to tell you why this is a potentially bad sign for baseball. The opt-out, and I will get to why this is something that baseball needs to be very concerned about.
Okay, on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
But first, John, would you like to talk about your ride?
Yeah, would you?
My goodness. You know what? If you're opting out of your car right now, then you need to opt into my car, into the Ford. I've got a wonderful Expedition. The Explorer is awesome, too. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. Go with the number one. This is the number one commercial dealer. And you're like, well, I'm not getting a commercial vehicle. That's okay. You know why they're the number one commercial vehicle seller in the city of Houston? Is because it's the bottom line. Businesses want the best price and the best vehicle for them. That's Chastang Ford. Chastang Ford is the best and biggest in the business for commercial sales. You know why? Because they get them the best deal that they can possibly have. And, oh, by the way, they're really, really smart at what they do. They have vehicles on the lot. But the best way to go about this right now is for you to go online, ChastangFord.com, or go to the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. You can pick out exactly the car that you want. Have Ford build it and send it directly to Chastang Ford, and you've got exactly what you want. Because you might not want the bedliner that comes with that package with the leather seats and the sunroof. Okay. Then you know what? You get to design the vehicle that's perfect for you. So you should order it online or at the dealership at Chastang Ford and get the best deal that you can possibly get. It's all at Chastang Ford. Again, ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, Chastang Ford.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
You confess it, but it will not come.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I want to announce that I won't be attending the All-Star game this year. As you guys know, my wife is pregnant with her first child. We have an appointment during that break, and I want to stay home. As you guys know, baseball is really important to me, but family will always come first. So we decided that I'm going to stay here with her, spend this time. Obviously, we don't get a lot of time together with baseball season. So I'm pretty excited about that. Obviously, I'm grateful for everybody that voted for me to win the All-Star game. Baseball means, you know, the world to me, but I want to be with my family this time, especially with my wife. Spending this time with her is our first child, so I need that time.
Not to go because I have an issue with my left leg that I feel like I need these 4 days off to get it ready for the second half.
How tough was that decision for you?
It's tough. You know, you as a player always want to go to these kind of games, and I'm sad I don't get to go.
Thanks to Mark Berman there, Channel Fox 26. For that sound, that was Carlos Correa first, and then Jose Altuve. Yeah, I mean, listen, especially in this circumstance, I could see these guys. There's so much crap been said about them. You know what? F it. I don't feel like going. I'm not going. I'm not going to spend time with all these guys, especially as many two-faced guys as there were out there. I don't know. I don't have any insight into that's why they're not going, but I'm sure that there's got to be some resentment with these guys. So, like, there's resentment with a lot of people with the Houston Astros. You know, I'm sure that the Astros feel some hypocrisy for the rest of the league, and I could certainly see them not wanting to hang and sit pine in front of the camera like they're buddies with all of these, especially the a-holes that have been saying so much stuff. You know, and you know what? I get, and Carlos has a really good reason to go. I'm sure he can't do a lot of stuff unless it's in the
morning.
Are
they done with? So they're done with All-Star games from now on?
No, I don't know that.
Well, but, I mean, they're gonna have to see. Aaron Judge ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, no, I know. But I don't know that that's the reason. They think they can win. They want to take the rest. They want to get ready for the second half. They believe in this team that it's going to be. That they're gonna do big things. Jose Urquidy already said that they're winning the World Series. I don't know if you heard. So. This is a team that's on a mission to win the World Series, Lance. So, all this other stuff is all on the side. What's first and foremost, and I don't know that he's got a leg issue or whatever, although he has had leg issues.
He has, but he's still playing through it. It just sounds like they're avoiding the confrontation, that's what it sounds like potentially is happening. I wish they wouldn't if that were the case. Now, Carlos, I didn't think twice about that. Carlos wants to stay with Daniela. Like, those two are smitten with each other. That just, for some reason, wasn't a big surprise. It's not like the baby's due this weekend, you know, right. Within 2 weeks.
No, and, you know, it's funny. You don't have to be at the ballpark until 3 o'clock. You can go to any one of her, you know, any one of her appointments every day if you want.
Yeah, so, and then Altuve plays through it. So what you said really makes more sense. And I don't want them to run from it. I want them to run into it personally, because I don't think they've taken so much crap that why not you say, hey, you know what? I'm here now. So say something now. You know, Jose Altuve, who everyone's F Altuve and all that stuff, and I'm the guy that, because I somehow became the face of it, here I am at the All-Star game. I'd rather see a defiant Jose Altuve. We're the same organization. If you have, you know, hate us, or if you absorb the brand of being hated, which is a chip on the shoulder, a great rallying cry for fan base. The organization, for whatever reason, is terrified of that. You're not allowed to have that. The other day, somebody brought a cheese head in, and they put Mike Fiers, it was on yesterday, Mike Fiers' mm-hmm. picture on it and said, come get this cheese rat whatever, and threw it on the field.
Yeah.
And or maybe it's 2 days ago.
Yeah, it was a couple of days ago.
The AT&T cameras got a close-up. Like, you could see exactly what it was. They got a great close-up of it. That's what I'm about embracing that, but rallying around. You know, it's us versus the world type of mentality. But regardless, I think this is bad for baseball. And Fred and I talked about this, and Fred was of the mind that, you know, who cares? And that's fine. I'm not saying the baseball All-Star game is as big as it used to be. The reason I think it's a little bit of a concern that you don't want the best pitcher in baseball and now one of the young star shortstops in Carlos Correa. Imagine if it had been Tatis and not Correa for a second. The concern, imagine instead of Jose Altuve, if it had been Vlad Guerrero Jr. The problem you have is baseball's not exactly on the come up with a young audience. It's just not. Every number will tell you that. Every metric will tell you that of measuring that stuff. And I think the thing you don't want to do is take your very biggest stars and have them get into a situation where they say, you know what, I'd rather not be there. I don't care. Or, yeah, this is a $150,000 bonus for making the All-Star game, but I'm making $34 million, $30 million a year, whatever it is, $24 million a year. I don't really care about that. Because this is a showcase of your very best talent, and it is an actual competitive game. People do try in this one, unlike three quarters of basketball and all of the football game. So I don't think it's a great... I think baseball has to be careful that this doesn't turn into... We live in an opt-out society now around sports. I think baseball needs to be careful that the best stars don't start opting out of this, because that is going to hurt them somewhat. I think they can't afford to just... like throw this game away like football can. Football's made it. Football's at the top. They don't need their postseason game. Baseball, this is not a bad game for baseball. It's in prime time, and it's right there, the showcase, nothing else on. So that was something I talked about yesterday, and I feel pretty strongly about that. I think it's important that your best players do go to the game. And but, you know, I get it. I'm surprised it hasn't happened more. You know, I tried to look up guys who opt out of baseball. It's hard to find. It's really hard. Maybe they just don't keep track of it, or there's not a lot of articles about it. But unless there were legitimate injury concerns, you know, I don't see a lot of healthy scratches from All-Star games.
I feel like it's probably happened more than we think. Maybe it hasn't. I kind of feel like guys maybe have stayed home before. Chase had said something before, and he said, Fernando Tatis was already opting out. No, he was opting out of the home run derby, or whoever it was, Vlad, or whoever it was. I think Vlad is in it. So, but yeah, you might be right. I don't know. I think this is this generation, if you want to know the truth, they just don't. This is the opt out generation that we've seen it in so many phases. Like I said, bowl games,
so weak.
What about the high school kid that's opting out of his senior year because he's going to go to the University of Texas?
That's not 100% accurate, by the way.
It's not.
I don't think he had a choice.
Oh, well, that might be
from a friend of someone on the coaching staff. Like, yeah, he got opted out.
Oh, he got opted out. All right.
Well, I'm hearing that.
He's also a University of Texas recruit.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll look into some of that, but I've heard he got opted out.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was told.
Well, but would it surprise you?
No. It wouldn't. No, it sounded completely that would have happened.
We were stunned when it was Jadeveon Clowney. Well, he's going to be the first pick overall. Why should he play his junior year? What?
That's not a real thing. But now I'm worried that this is going to be a real thing. No, but that
was the talk. Should he?
Right.
And it was like, what?
But COVID,
what are you talking about?
COVID now, we never had a phrase opt out. That was never a phrase in sports.
No.
That didn't. It was invented because of COVID. And then NFL players, some of them opted out, like a bunch of the Patriots. And then college football. And it became a cool thing like, hey, I'm opting out. Look how badass I am. I'm an opt out. The rest of y'all can just sit there like peasants while I opt out and get ready for the draft. And then all of a sudden, when football came back, guys like Rondell Moore are like, I actually want to play. And some Pac-12 guys come back. Some Big Ten guys came back. Others sat it out. You know, it's not everybody. I'm sure a lot really did do it for health purposes. Some of them just did it. I mean, you see the amount of parties that were going on at colleges. No masks, no nothing. A lot of guys just opted. It had nothing to do with health. They just... this is their thing that they didn't want to play. They wanted an agent to start paying for their training, and that was that. What's concerning me now is because that became a thing, is that we're going to start seeing opt-outs after sophomore years headed into junior year where you just start preparing for the draft. I think we will see that, and I know some NFL scouts do too, where we're just going to see people just not want to play. And it's a weird phenomenon to me. The baseball game, it was such an honor to be an All-Star. And I think less impresses younger athletes now. Like, they're less impressed. Like, they're impressed with their own photo shoots and graphics they put together, mm-hmm. like a graphics department put together for them. But going to an event like an All-Star game, I'm not sure it has the same pull to a lot of the athletes. And I know the financial component, which used to matter in sports. When guys were making as much money and you got a bonus, you got $50,000 for going to an All-Star game? Oh, my gosh.
Well, now the bonus is going to have to be playing in the All-Star game as opposed to being named an All-Star.
Now it's going to have to be, yeah, I know. Or now it's going to have to be, listen, if you want to get out of this All-Star game, you got to actually pay $200,000.
Whoa. Well, Because there are guys that wanted to opt out the NBA All-Star game. Adam Silver pissed? And wasn't there some story about that? I'd heard. Maybe I'm just making
it up. I don't know. That's such a only Family Guys who don't like to go slam, I think, don't want to go to All-Star game.
Yeah, right.
They say it is debaucherous. People who have been there inside, they say, man, things happen at the All-Star games. It's not just like, I wonder what event we're going to now. Do you think they'll have small bites? This is going to be great. Like, no. No.
All right. Well, things happened last night in Phoenix, and we'll talk about, including JVG might be in a little bit of hot water. We'll see if he's got to apologize.
He's got to apologize now?
There were some people that thinking that JVG might have stepped out of line just a little bit. He insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself, JVG. So we'll talk about that. But right now I'm talking about HR&P and my people over at HR&P. As a matter of fact, they were here the other day. Chris and Kevin were over here the other day, and they were doing something for another one of their clients. Actually did a commercial for them to talk about what a great client they are. And we've had so many people on here. Chuck Watson has talked about HR&P, and Chad, my buddy Chad, has talked about them. They use them. They love them. We have talked about it. Listen, if you are a company that doesn't know, that is still doing your own payroll, if you're a company that's growing and you need some help on this thing, and oh, by the way, it's just so much better, so much more convenient, so much easier to get the small business loan, so much easier to get the PPP, to take care of your unemployment claims, to do your Affordable Care Act. There's so many things involved in this thing. And it's so much easier when you got people that do this every day and are so knowledgeable and attentive to you and all of your needs. That's awfully important as well. So you're looking for a locally owned company. Mike Holly started this thing, and he's been unbelievable how well he's done. You're looking for that payroll company, HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, you could barely hear that.
But, you know, through the whole broadcast, you could barely hear him. It's so loud in Phoenix, they have to really talk louder.
And that's on the producer. That's on the sound guy.
Is it?
Yeah, because they got the ambient mic up too high. You got to be able to, and that's on them, that they can't, that they got to mix that much better. What he said was, Devin Booker looks like a choir boy but plays like a hoodlum. I mean,
Most try-hard. What did he say? I was reading some of the comments on Twitter. Like, did I just hear this? Did I hear what I thought I heard?
Yeah.
That is so clearly a compliment. And Jeff Van Gundy said, like, the exact same thing about Bob Sura when Bob Sura played. I remember him saying it. But he might have actually said thug about Bobby Sura back. That's when thug was used more.
Say thug then?
Yeah, well, it's amazing that if you self-brand thug, which has been self-branded over the years, more in the early 2000s, roughneck into thug, into savage is the word that has been more in the 2015s and beyond. You know, I'm a savage, that guy's a savage. But if Jeff Van Gundy tries to get, what he's basically saying is that dude is rough. That guy is competitive. That guy's a dog, is what you're saying. That guy, at some point, they'll take away dog from us where you can't say, that's literally a term of endearment. When a guy is a dog, everybody who's in sports knows what that means. That means that guy will get after your ass. You don't want that guy. It's 100%. I will guarantee you that none of the players on that court would have any problem with Jeff Van Gundy saying that, because what he's saying is, here, I'll re, and I get that some people say, phrasing and this, that, and the other. But don't grab your pearls and act like Jeff Van Gundy did anything. That literally Jeff's like, if that's Jeff Van Gundy saying he looks like a choir boy but plays like a roughneck, just using some old, like I think it was MC Light had that song or whatever back in it, way back in the day. no one would think anything else. That's the same thing he's saying. That's obviously what he's saying. He's letting you know, you don't sleep on him. You're sitting there acting like he's not a dog, but he is a dog. He didn't look like it. He looks like a choir boy, but behind that that little happy guy, you know, soft exterior that you think you see is a lies a dog. So I guess for some reason a hoodlum. I get it. I get it. I mean, I get the word and what people. But
so
if you think
soft.
that was his intention,
that
at
is
all,
not his intention. We're so stupid and soft.
He
Goodness
might,
gracious.
He might, you know what? I'll bet you they do make him apologize.
He probably
of Rachel Nichols stuff, he'll have to apologize.
He's going to have a talking to. You know he is. And in the next broadcast, I'm going to promise you he is going to have to apologize. And it's so stupid. It's so stupid. There was no meaning of any kind of that he's comparing him. It's just like the Bob McNair stuff. Bob McNair mixed the metaphor and it was dumb. And now he's a huge racist. And now Jeff Van Gundy is, I mean, come on. This world is so stupid. So, man, I think, dude, I'm telling you, if you'd have gotten Devin Booker after game one for finals MVP, I think there's a real possibility that would be that could hit the pay window, and you would have gotten your best odds because Chris Paul had a huge game. Chris Paul was already the favorite. The odds probably went down, and Booker's odds probably went up. And Booker's just a beast.
Can I
call him a beast or no?
Ooh, just say
dog
he's a really
beast.
He's a dog.
Dog, beast are fine until we tell you otherwise.
I
let you guys go through it because I didn't care so much, but I'll tell you right now. When black people say you can't call us dogs anymore, you can't call us dogs anymore.
That's how it works. One black person and everybody else doesn't care.
If it becomes a thing where black people get upset about it, then dog will go away. But until that happens, it won't go away because you see every high school football player call himself a dog. So you heard
players and rappers and every I'm thug where that was a brand that's like, man, You don't want it with me.
Yeah, but unless Devin Booker says
but
I'm a hoodlum.
But then when it's used against you, I get all that stuff. That's a whole different conversation, I suppose. But in terms, just to be safe, just say he's an excellent ball player. Just say it like
from
the Boston area. He's a very excellent ball player, sir.
See, but then you're limiting it to just being a ball player as opposed to a human being. Okay, and I'm not just about
then call him human basketball player.
Well, then person. Houston basketball person.
Yeah, because that's a non-binary term, a basketball person.
Person.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, speaking of which,
I think we're safe on that.
I mean, have you seen?
By the way, Chris Paul, like, you're not sleeping on Chris Paul, are you? Because
he had a good game. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. But I think the best odds.
Oh, no, I looked for MVP odds after game one to see because I thought the same thing. Like, maybe there's something here for somebody else. They pulled it down. Didn't have it at the beginning of the series, you didn't get it.
Oh, well, I couldn't find it on my bookie. I was going after it, and
book
I couldn't find it on my bookie.
Book was nuts yesterday with his sideways. He didn't even have step backs. He had step sideways shots where he was literally jumping sideways to create space to shoot threes. Like, he was so silky yesterday. My goodness.
But that backcourt. Oh, and Cassidy Hubbard, who we had on the show how many years ago?
Oh, man, probably 2009.
Yeah, a ways ago. Cassidy Hubbard, who was covering the NBA, was on with the guys beforehand. And you didn't hear Jeff Van Gundy yesterday on the show, did you?
No, I didn't get to hear it.
Jeff Van Gundy was on, and I asked him, I said, dude, what's the deal with everybody jumping on? Who's had the worst playoffs as far as their name being slung through the mud? Ben Simmons and Mike Budenholzer. It is unbelievable.
Budenholzer gets an enormous amount of slander.
Oh, and I said, Coach, what's the deal with this? And he's like, he said, I don't get it. He said, you're right. He's getting, he is every day about his adjustments. He said, I wish. We gotta play that. I wish people, Yeah, people know so little about NBA coaching or coaching at all, and they just say stuff. And again, Keyshawn this morning. Well, where were Budenholzer's adjustments? Why didn't he make adjustments? If you want to know the truth, the Suns actually, the Bucks actually played some defense, some tough defense yesterday, and the Suns just knocked the snot out of it, out of every. It seemed like every shot. They were on fire. It didn't matter what they did. Didn't matter what the Bucks did. Did you see the 10-pass series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, now that's what the Rockets aspired to with James, is you want to get the ball moving. Move. That's how the Rockets played with James, and I missed that this year.
Unbelievable how many guys.
Just kidding. There was never 10.
It was iso ball all the time. It was unbelievable how many guys passed up shots. They had 10 looks. They had actually, and Chris Paul in the corner could have taken it, but he passed it off. Those guys played so unbelievable, unselfish basketball. And then they ate and finished it off with an and one. And the Bucks were all over every single guy. But it's Mike Budenholzer not making adjustments. Stop, everybody. Can we stop? And by the way, I'd like to know what adjustment you would like him to make, Keyshawn. Can you tell me exactly what's that adjustment?
Well, see, that's what I love. That's one of the reasons I love watching Jeff Van Gundy is he says things. He'll talk about the way teams are switching. He'll say things that you're not even looking for about that what they're doing on the backside and how they're matching up certain guys and how they've now gone from under the pick to over the pick but not switching the bigs. And like he notices things a coach would notice, and so does Mark Jackson for that matter. And so that's why one of the things that I really find a lot of value, the average person, you know what? If that's what you're going to say, then say it.
Yeah.
Don't just say adjustments. That's like the play calling. The play calling is such the play calling. Bill O'Brien didn't call any passes for downfield to Deshaun. Like most plays have reads based on safety location. And the way a team is defending you may determine where the quarterback goes with the ball. You can't like... It's just that's one of the most played out things in the world. Now if this is somebody who played ball or maybe has a little better knowledge of it,
Keyshawn doesn't have or any
has
knowledge
the vision
of that.
The vision of the entire field to know what all the coverages are.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But in basketball, same thing for somebody. Budenholzer just making no adjustments. I heard about Ty Lue's great adjustments, and I didn't know what. It may have happened. I just want you to say what the adjustments were. I know I've seen Monty Williams make adjustments, and I've heard him talked about and what exactly he's doing different, and some of them were obvious. But there's just become this, like Budenholzer's never going to have, he's never going to be the guy that basketball Twitter talks about, boy, he made some really good adjustments. Because the narrative's already out that he's a bad coach and doesn't make adjustments. Now, I will say in all fairness, there have been some things that Budenholzer's done that I have not been a fan of. And I think he lets his team do some things that are detrimental. When Chris Middleton turns into the Chris Middleton show, when he's not hitting and he doesn't demand. But I say that, but there was no Rocket coach that demanded anything other than what they got from the Rockets. Like, it's still a star league, and star players tend to do a little bit of what they want at certain occasions. But once again, we saw if Middleton's off, get ready, because the Bucks aren't going to win if Middleton's off. And if Middleton and Holiday are both off, I don't know how they can have any chance against this Phoenix. I think we
again.
We are
it's as Middleton at, goes. It's amazing.
We are looking at a potential sweep here now, because if Book is getting into, if the nose is all healed and Book's into it, the only reason it got it bumpy at all, and that was just a little bit of bumps, is because that nose. You know, Book wasn't the same player after he busted up his nose when Pat Beverly accidentally hurt someone else.
Yeah, but Middleton had he was an awful game, and sure enough, they lose. They can't keep up. Giannis was unbelievable. He was awesome. He had a 20-point third quarter, which is the most since Jordan had 22 against the Suns in 93 in a quarter. So he can't do it by himself. He's got to get some help. You know, Drew Holiday is a star, too. And Budenholzer even talked about it afterwards. He said, you know, the other guys, the big three, the other two got to step up. We got to get something out of them. 742 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. There is news of another NBA star in Paris. And, it's a pretty good story. You don't want to go anywhere. Stay with us here. It's about James Harden and being detained. So don't you go anywhere. Right now, though, it's Absolute Marble and Granite. Absolute Marble and Granite is Jeff Aronoff. And it, listen, if you've got that outdoor, whatever it is, outdoor patio, kitchen, pool that you're putting in, you got to put it, and you need a big job done. You need it designed. You need it. You need somebody to pick out, help you pick out all of the marble and the granite and the rock. And because it can look awesome, even, you know, the grills, the wonderfulness of the grills and the, if you've got a pizza oven out there, if you want, you're going to need a fridge out there, you need a sink out there, all of these things that you need in your outdoor kitchen, Jeff Aronoff's here for you. Jeff Aronoff is awesome. He is unbelievable. He'll design it and he'll build it and it'll get done. It'll be perfect. And it's just what Jeff Aronoff does. Any big job, any remodel, any installation of countertops or cabinets and vanities and all of this, Jeff Aronoff is here for you at Absolute Marble and Granite. All you got to do is give him a call and let him come and break it down exactly what you need, because you don't know what to do. He does. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN 97.5.
We're going to skate to one song, one song only.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so there is a Twitter.
Do you want to, first of all, would you like to discuss your choice of music here, Dell? Because I see you working. Would you like to discuss the
Little Baby
the title? And no, it's not Little Baby.
No, there are multiple. There are multiple ways you can affect the show. Now, John wouldn't know what we're doing because he didn't listen to music. But you mentioned that there's something going on in Paris featuring an NBA star. The song I'm playing is featuring, well, it's a Kanye Jay-Z joint collaboration, and the song is called "In Paris." In, well, it's N words in Paris, but we're not going to say that. But
sounds so weird.
That's,
yeah,
not
in Paris.
That's not something that we say.
I didn't say it.
Well, it
that's
a
just
song.
I'm just using a song. I mean, because we're talking about Paris.
He's in Paris, and it's not just James. It's
Lil Baby and Kanye.
Lil Baby. Oh, Kanye's there.
Yeah.
Oh, I just know about Lil Baby.
Reports that Harden, who has been seen with Lil Baby and Kanye West, among
others. Why is he in Paris?
Was detained but not taken into custody.
Why is he in Paris?
They're
Do you know?
Are they doing some clothing thing?
Yes, it's Paris Fashion Week.
Yeah, Paris Fashion Week.
I mean,
well,
do you think it's
are.
A coincidence that James has never been to an NBA Finals and right now Paris Fashion Week is falling on the NBA Finals? I think James could have been there if he wanted to. He just wanted to make sure.
Well, and did you see him at the all white? What is it called? The white?
The all whites.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Did you see him tickling Lil Baby at the that it?
Oh
no! Who was breakdancing, Dell, and who was he tickling?
Oh, that was Lil Uzi Vert who was breakdancing.
Oh, that was
He was tickling Meek Mill.
Meek Mill. He was. They were tickling. It was embarrassing. He was.
Why does James have to be that? Why can't he just have fun like you and your guys when y'all buy each other jeans? Sometimes you just want to have some fun.
I'm sure they
and
buy
not
each
be
other.
Judged
Wait
by
a minute.
The standards they, of toxic masculinity.
They buy each other luggage. And they buy each other honey buns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's like
he's
buying
having
each
fun.
Other.
He doesn't need you sitting in judgment of him having tickle fights with Meek Mill.
That's some.
Why can't they just be like? Why do they always have to have their guard up? Oh, I'm tough. I'm bad. How about a tickle fight?
So
every
apparently
once in a while?
The paparazzi were waiting for James and Lil Baby outside the hotel, and they were like,
the video of it was like, what the hell?
Like just, they'd never seen.
Is this after Lil Baby had been arrested?
No, I think
for
this was 20 before.
Grams of weed.
I think this was before, so
because maybe the paparazzi was there because Lil Baby had gotten arrested for 20 grams of weed. James had gotten detained, but not. But that's it.
Yeah,
he was not.
So ESPN reports that Harden, who has been seen with Lil Baby and Kanye West, among others, was detained but not taken into custody or arrested by Paris police Thursday. Harden reportedly was on the street as a car was stopped because police smelled cannabis, which is illegal in France. Lil Baby and two others in the car were arrested. But Harden was let go, and he briefly attempted, to intervene. So James was there. There was smoke coming out of the car. James tried to get the police, who don't probably, they couldn't understand him or something, and tried to get him to not arrest his good buddy, Lil Baby. So Lil Baby got arrested and someone else got arrested for smoking marijuana or, yeah, cannabis in France. Can't you just take a week off, fashion week off from weed? Can't you just take a week
off? We didn't take a week off.
You don't know about the lifestyle.
I know about the lifestyle. You know what it is? It's now imprisoned lifestyle.
Well, you suggested that they take a week off from it. Clearly, you don't understand the lifestyle.
Apparently, I don't. Just a week off. That's all we need. Just a break. Just a little break.
So,
take a week off from breathing?
No, breathing is different than smoking weed.
John takes a month off of drinking.
I take more than a month off. I take all of Lent off.
So let me ask you. So we don't have our screen, which gives us callers, is not functional. So do we have? I know we have call. How many calls do we have right now?
I texted you guys and said, "Yeah,
that's a great system."
Is Freaky Deaky still on?
No, he is not.
Oh, because he got so much meat from Michael at Pete's Fine Meats. He took a picture. He's like, dude, I hit the jackpot.
Oh, awesome.
With a $250 meat pack.
Call back, freak. We want to hear about it.
Yeah. Dave's on right now. Let's get to Dave right now.
Hey, Dave, what's going on?
How you doing?
Yeah, would y'all use that term if you were describing Mike Trout?
Hoodlum?
Describing who?
Mike Trout? Well, apparently.
Mike Trout. Would you use that term?
No.
If he was raw, like if he was, I would probably say. Who's a baseball player?
Would you call Mike Trout a hoodlum?
I would say more Alex Bregman than Mike Trout.
Wouldn't it be the
I'm talking about Mike Trout.
Because Mike Trout is Mr.
Well, but why is Devin Booker just Mike Trout?
Mike Trout doesn't have...
Why does he have to be any just dog Mike Trout?
Like, you never see him go hard, break up a double play, and have
Wouldn't
some dog.
Wouldn't the comparison be Pat Connaughton, since they both play basketball?
Yeah.
I would say Pat Connaughton. He's got some
of
that.
By the way, Jeff Van Gundy, like he said, used it a similar term for Bobby Sura, who's a white guy.
I'm talking about Mike Trout. Looks like an angel.
No.
You say he's a hoodlum.
Well, he literally looks like an angel because he is an angel. But
that's what I'm saying. Now, would you? And he plays as hard as anybody in the league.
Nah, that's not what Jeff was saying. That's not what Jeff
meant. Jeff wasn't saying plays hard.
He's saying plays rough, is not afraid of you.
Mike Trout plays as hard as anybody.
Well,
you think Mike Trout is a dog?
He plays good. You can call him what you want, but my question is, would you call him a hoodlum?
No, not Mike Trout.
I don't think you call baseball players
right,
that, though.
So
no, that's a bad... No, no, no. If we're going to play this game, find a guy who plays like
a
dog.
Game.
You're talking about a guy who's known as a cookie, like Girl Scout cookie guy. Why are you thinking
I think Bregman is a good one.
But Bregman is the guy... Bregman's more
the
guy. You
can't change the rules, man.
Well, no, there are no rules.
You're not coming up with a good example,
you win.
Though.
Okay, you win, Dave. We wouldn't call Mike Trout a hoodlum, so
yeah.
There you go. You win.
You know what I call him?
Now,
I call him Girl Scout.
Now, how about Alex Bregman? Now, let's play that game, Dave. Would you call Alex Bregman a hoodlum?
Hoodlum is such
no.
a...
No. I wouldn't call him a hoodlum.
So
well,
it's,
hoodlum
so
does
then we, no 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 you got okay you lose the game because I would call him a hoodlum. So you lose that
John,
game.
John, what you don't understand, John, I understand what you're saying, but what you don't understand is not a game when you're describing somebody to the public and it's constantly, you know, the black guys are they're beasts or they're gangsters or they're hoodlums. When you wouldn't say that about Mike Trout.
No. You're picking a really bad example. I'm trying to help you here. You're picking a really bad example. This is the most milk and cookies guy. That's like saying, would you call Derek Carr a gang? No. But now you want
to
get to somebody else. Maybe
we
can find a better example.
I listen to you guys forever. But, if I'm listening to morning radio, I listen to you guys.
Okay, Dave, I want you to give me an example. I want you to give me an example of when any announcer called a player a gangster. Never. So you just said, though, you just told us that we can't describe guys, black guys are being described as gangsters. And no one ever does that, Dave. No one ever does that.
They used to call, what's the guy that used to play for Utah? They used to call him a gangster, Pacey Gangster.
Yeah, that was his nickname. Well, that's what Jim Rome called him. John Stockton.
Well, I mean, that's what he was known as.
Well, John Stockton.
Okay, so you said black guy being called a gangster. John Stockton, last I checked, was white.
Because gangster, when he said that.
That's what I'm saying.
But the phrase, I mean, come on. We can't be disingenuous about this. Pasty Gangster means John Stockton played like Pat Beverly. I mean, he had that kind of might sock you in the junk coming over their screen. Like, he had some dirty to him. No, that's why that's why Jim Rome called him that. And that's the point. But, like, hoodlum is a weird choice of words because I honestly didn't think hoodlum's been used since the 50s.
But Dave's point was that we use this for black guys. He used it for John Stockton.
No.
Jim Rome did. I know he did. I know.
Well, he's saying right now, look, I get his point. I think the argument about Mike, and we appreciate the call, and thanks for listening all these years. The Trout thing to me is just a super terrible example. You pick the most milk and cookies guy that you could possibly say, and would you call him that? No, he's not the guy you pick. Pick a better guy. Pick a better, like, I could argue, I could self-argue and say, no, you wouldn't call, I've never heard you call, first of all, I don't use the term hoodlum because, like I said, no one's running around with Tommy guns and fedoras and Tommy guns and pinstripe. So I don't say hoodlum because that's what I,
you know, I never say.
But it. I would say Alex Bregman, I wouldn't say hoodlum. I would say more, you know, people have called him more of a doof.
Well,
when you talk about a guy who's if you honestly believe that Jeff Van Gundy, his intent was to say that Devin Booker was involved in criminal element, or he was fundamentally a criminal type of person, a hoodlum, a guy who is not to be trusted, then that's fine. But if that's honestly what you believe, then I don't think you honestly believe that. Dave's point is,
you'll call a black guy a hoodlum, but you wouldn't call a white guy like Mike Trout a hoodlum, okay? When, in fact, we are pretty sensitive. And maybe Jeff Van Gundy, it was a bad choice of words because, I'm sure it was innocuous, though. He didn't mean anything by it. He meant nothing. He's not trying
to. He meant dog.
He
came up with a clever way of saying it. And if he had said Pat Connaughton is an absolute hoodlum, people would have, like, that's pretty funny that he's like, because it's the juxtaposition of who Connaughton is, but how he plays, but you don't typically, because that's a word you never hear. You would have kind of laughed if he had said, this guy looks like a choir boy, but do not get it twisted. This guy's an absolute hoodlum. If somebody had said, if Jalen Rose had made that comment about Devin Booker, everyone would have said, you would have known exactly what he meant. That's a celebration of, don't come in here thinking he's a punk. Like, people who are about it and in the game and play the game and are around it would have known exactly what. Don't come in here thinking he's soft or a punk, because he's not. He don't let the smile fool you. There's no punk in his game. If I say that to you, and if we're talking at a pickup game or a barbershop or in a sports bar, you have no problem with it because you know exactly where I'm coming from and what we're talking about. Because Devin Booker is not, you can take him lightly if you want. I've called the Suns a bunch of finesse players. I truly believe they've got Chris Paul's the dog, Jay Crowder's got some dog, and they're like a bunch of finesse guys. But I think what Jeff Van Gundy was saying yesterday was, sorry, Lance, this, you can think he's smiley choir boy all you want, but he's got some dog in him.
Again,
he just used hoodlum.
And again, this is all, and you're right, if it was Connaughton that he said it about, if we say it about Alex Bregman, if we say it's all fine, but because it was Devin Booker, it's not fine.
But do you understand why there's a sensitivity?
I get it. Okay. But man, we're so sensitive. Good Lord.
Well, people.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
Dale, you're off the air.
Your volume just.
Yeah, the mic cut out. We got a full board. Stop yakking amongst yourselves. And
we can't see that.
I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you.
A flipping TV.
That's
in
why
here.
I'm telling
all right,
you.
We'll get to it on the other side. Well, you guys can chime in if you absolutely. You're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-377.
He's a hoodlum, see? We're going to get these hoodlums.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Okay. What if I said he's
at Gotham City, we are against all of the hoodlums, the Penguin, the Joker.
And in
we will make sure these hoodlums pay
and Devin,
their price.
Devin
and
Booker,
we'll throw them in the clink.
Devin Booker in his post game called one of the refs a flatfoot, too. So
that's
there
right.
You go.
Hey, see, flatfoot? Yeah.
The flatfoot called me for a step back. It was actually a legal step back, and they called me for a travel. I'll tell you what, the flatfoots don't give me any of my jive back. Why won't they just get with this?
I can't think of other 30s terms right now, but unfortunately.
He's the bee's knee, see?
Yeah, see?
Why don't you talk about cans for cars for kids?
Yeah, I'm not really talking about cans, but I am talking about the Houston Can Academy. None of what I'm about to talk about has to do with cans. But the cars for kids is what I'm talking about. What John meant is that the branding has been so good with this company that you associate OCAN. Well, that's Houston Can Academy, and that is who is going to benefit from this. When you decide to take your vehicle, I don't care if it's a car, a motorcycle, and a truck, and more importantly, they don't care if it's a car, motorcycle, or truck. They don't care if it's running. If it works well, they're going to come and they'll pick it up. That's absolutely free. You get the tax write-off, so you're going to have that benefit when it comes time for tax season. And they don't care if you have the title or not. They'll do the title work for you, including the search and the transfer. So this is the most zero-hassle way for some of you to potentially get a car out of there, or a truck, or a motorcycle that you've wanted out of there for years. Have it happen with Cars for Kids. Go to carsforkids.org. Always make sure that you remember that you can ride off that car and not the kid.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.